For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I don't know, because like anything else with Stephen Vogt, you don't know how glued to it or how he's going to stick with it. I love the idea of Manzardo in the two-hole. I mean, again, you're like, it's a young guy. There's going to be some streakiness there. But as of right now, the dude is producing, and that's a spot you haven't gotten consistent production from.
He's been great. I mean, from the start of the season where he was just, you know, obviously having a rough go getting up to the majors, he goes back down to AAA, and he continues to mash the ball. Like, and that's maybe the most encouraging thing about Manzardo's season is, like, sometimes that up and down and back and forth can mess with the guy's psyche, but it clearly didn't for him. And he came back up, and now, like, late in the season when they needed some extra pop, and Stephen Kwan's obviously dealing with his injury situation right now, and you need that extra bat in the lineup, to have him out there producing at this level is good. Yes, there's going to be streakiness, but I honestly think, like, as we start to contemplate, like, big factors for how this team makes a run in the playoffs, I think Manzardo is one of those kind of X-factor players that's like, hey, if he can keep this up and he can be an extra power bat for you that you don't necessarily have just on a given night, that's a massive, you know, momentum builder for you in the postseason. As we talked about with the Yankees, like being a team that has those bats, like hitting homers matters that time of year.
So it's interesting, while we're talking about the Guardians clinching the playoff spot, just the 16th in franchise history, a number that kind of blew my mind when I saw it yesterday.
That is crazy.
There were some interesting quotes to come out of the clubhouse after the win. And Zach Meisel wrote a great story for The Athletic about this Guardians team clinching the playoff spot and their kind of journey to this point. And, you know, we did the topic yesterday in the 6 o'clock. Well, okay, I think it was the last 2 hours of the show, which was the Guardians wouldn't be here without fill in the blank. And I had said, I was thinking more players. But a lot of people did go to Stephen Vogt. And so in that vein, Austin Hedges was quoted as saying, quote, "We had one of the greatest managers in the history of baseball for a long time. I love Terry Francona with all my heart, but this is probably the best year of managing I've ever seen in my life." Which is, I don't know you could like get more effusive of praise when you start talking about Stephen Vogt's importance to this year's team.
Well, especially from Hedges, who's a guy who's obviously been around this league, and also, you know, similar to Vogt, a former catcher. We tend to think like catchers have this different eye for the game and all that. So to have him be the one that says it, I think carries a little bit more weight as well. It's interesting because we know how great Tito was, but what's funny in terms of like a question of like, could they be here with Tito, or would they be on the same stage they are with Tito versus Stephen Vogt this year? I kind of laugh because I think about, well, he probably would have still been playing Miles Straw every day. And so that would have prevented them from maybe not getting here potentially. But I hate having to compare, but I do believe like Stephen Vogt. Here's the way I'll put it. It's nothing against Terry Francona whatsoever.
Uh-oh.
No.
That's a racer phrase.
Because, again, I'm a Red Sox fan. I've made that known. I have soft spot in my heart from him from his days with that franchise. And then he comes here, and I live here, and it's like I get to continue to follow his awesome career. And you get 16, you get 17. Like, I think that was his time to you know, be that amazing manager that he is. I do think, like, over the last couple years, not that the messaging got stale, but I just think, like, sometimes, I mean, we talk about this in the NFL all the time, right? Like, the morning show has Andrew Filippone on, and he talks about, like, Mike Tomlin's voice, and it's time to move on, and what's the standard if you're just losing the playoffs every year? Sometimes it's just like, you need a fresh perspective on things. And so I do almost feel like, not that Terry Francona still couldn't, like, you know, mix and match his lineup with the best of them. I mean, that's what I think is so brilliant about Tito, is like, you see a guy like Tony La Russa who leaves on this very low point of he's falling asleep in the dugout while his players are out there, like, you know, not understanding what's the rules of the game.
True, but he wasn't falling asleep at the wheel, which was a step up for Tony.
But like with Tito, he seemed like he was still very much with it, and it was just like the physical toll that it took on him. Like the fact that he did go out still, I think, being considered this great manager and still managing at a high level, I think says something. But I just think like getting that fresh perspective in here is what allowed this team to reach a different level than maybe what we saw last year with Tito. And to get maybe more out of it than what Tito maybe could have. So I do think there's some credence to what Hedges said here. I do.
216-474-0092. Would this team be where they are with Terry Francona as manager instead of Stephen Vogt? I just think because I think sometimes we make this comparison in a vacuum. The way this team came together in spite of obvious deficiencies is textbook, like hallmark Terry Francona. That's not by the way, they're both great people person. That's not the comparison. It is Tito where he was last year, which whether it was, I think a fair amount was the physical issues. I also think he's just like, it's hard to be a manager in Cleveland. Like you are not supported in a series of ways as you are in bigger markets. That's really tough to do for a decade plus time. And I do think that there was a part of Tito that was exhausted by the thing. So it's not, well, Terry Francona, Hall of Fame manager, and Stephen Vogt, who's better? That's not, we're talking about.
It doesn't have to be like a, you know, him versus him, or, you know, like you're just kind of like going down comparing and being like, well, he's better. And, you know, I get what you're saying.
This is about where Tito was versus where Vogt came in, and I think that's a big change. Just before we get into the stylistic differences, that in and of itself, I think I had said this last year, but I think it became apparent a new voice was crucial for this organization.
That's what I was getting at.
And Tito needed a break.
I think that's I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Like that's exactly where I was going with my comments. Is like I just think sometimes a fresh perspective, a new outlook on things can sometimes be beneficial. And that's not to say Tito. Again, I think he still went out managing at a high level, but maybe was a little exhausted, like you said. I think the physical stuff, like I said, took a toll. But I do think having a fresh perspective, and a perspective, by the way, of somebody who's not that far removed from the game. Like, they don't, as much as we can compare them from a standpoint of, you mentioned stylistically, and I don't think they're completely like polar opposites or anything stylistically.
I do.
Okay, well.
And it starts with things like the lineup. Tito liked to keep his lineup in place every single day.
That's fair.
Yeah. And I think what Vogt has done is, I can't tell you how many times they've actually run out the same lineup this year.
Yeah.
I would guess that the same lineup with the same guys in the same order, I would put it at like 10 times. I wouldn't be surprised if they had 80 different lineups this year.
Well, and I do think that's one of the big differences between the two is like his willingness to be more flexible. And I have another point on that too. But my larger point was like stylistically, I do think they're similar in a lot of ways because of how they manage a locker room. Like it does seem like they both were those, I can connect with my players, I'm going to bring the locker room or the clubhouse together. And they can kind of foster that. And so I think from that standpoint, they're stylistically similar. But to your point in the lineup, like they are different in that way. I also think though Vogt came in, he has a completely different perspective on the guys that are here than what Tito did. Tito, he'd been there for a while. He knew like who his guys were. Back to my Miles Straw joke about how he would have still been playing out there
Brian
every single day.
Shaw.
Right, exactly.
Excuse me.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Like he sees it differently, and he maybe had these preconceived notions of like, well, hey, I've always ridden with this guy, so I'm gonna go down swinging with him. Vogt came in and it was like, I see a team in a franchise that like, no, we can't go out and get that big power bat and pay that guy. So how can I manipulate the lineup day to day to help us and give us an advantage against this pitcher or against this team or whatever it might be? And so to your point, I think that is why he did that so often, because I think he realized like he came in with this fresh perspective on the lineup, and it was like, I got to figure out what works with all these guys, knowing that like our resources are limited. So let's just go out and try some different things, and it worked beautifully this year. It did.
But I think with the Guardians, they every turn, this is how Vogt and Tito are similar, and they did that, I think, to engender and play the PR game to get people to buy into and maybe have a little patience with Stephen Vogt. I think it's the differences. Like, Tito would not have the flexibility with the lineup. Can I give you one more? Steven Vogt's
Vogt's not bunting so much?
No, I mean, Steven Vogt's in-game ability. It's not ability.
I know people were joking. People used to get on Tito about that a lot.
But it's Steven Vogt's in-game aggressiveness. Is he's so much more hands-on with detailed decisions in-game than Terry ever was. Terry was a step back, let the boys make the plays, and I'll make a change at the very last possible
second. He came from a different era of baseball, so that makes some sense.
No, this is style. Because Bruce Bochy came from the same era of baseball, and Bruce is one of the most hands-on. You can, at points, accuse him of over-managing games. Like, I think that's what's so interesting, is that, like, when you really get in-game, whether it's pitching adjustments, the ability to bail on a starting pitcher early, sometimes it's with, hey, we've got X hitting here, I'm going to pinch hit for you, and then I'm going to pinch run for the guy that pinch hits for you. So basically using four players for one lineup spot. Like, that's not something that Tito did very often, and I feel like Vogt does it damn near every other game. And I think that's another reason why they've won. I think if you had sat back and just watched the game, I think that style would have sunk this team.
Well, yeah, and again, I think that just goes back to what I was saying about how he came in with this new, this different perspective on the lineup and the guys that were here, and he understood like he was going to have to manufacture in his own way wins without just going in and being like, well, these are my guys, I'm going to ride or die with them. So, yeah, like I think you're right about that, and some of those differences in terms of how you manage a game in the moment, and it doesn't. And by the way, like it doesn't have to mean that like one's right or one's wrong, to go to back to the top of the conversation. Like, both styles worked in their own unique ways for this franchise. Tito's for a long period of time, and we'll see what Steven Vogt's career looks like. But yeah, in year one, like, I don't know how you can't walk away impressed and feeling like they're in good hands. And by the way, too, like, you mentioned some of the, I know they preached it as, like, them being similar. I also do think, though, on some level, like, we know the intricacies of how this front office works and how important it is for that, you know, ownership group on down, Chris Antonetti, manager, all those guys to be on the same page, because Tito talked about that so much. I don't think they would have picked somebody that was like completely so vastly different from Terry Francona. I'm not saying Steven Vogt doesn't have things that he does differently, like you laid out. I'm just saying, like, I do think you see the similarities too, because I think stylistically that's what works with this franchise, and they knew that going in.
I actually, so I'm going to push back on that. I think the more I've watched Steven Vogt, I'm convinced he's incredibly different than Terry. And I agree with the statement that both work. But I think one of the reasons why it was time for Tito with this organization is I think he got frustrated with the front office's inability, for one reason or another, to bring in recruitments. I think that's why the Houston panic trip after they sold at the deadline, I think that was Antonetti and Chernoff going down to Houston to stave off a mutiny. And by the way, I think the mutiny in part was Tito. Do you think it was a coincidence that like 3 days after they sold at the deadline, Tito said, hey, about next year, Magic Johnson it, I'm not going to be there? No. And by the way, this doesn't mean that they don't like each other. It's really hard to work together for 11 plus years in a small market. And I also think, while, yes, there was a lot of synergy between Tito and the front office, can I just say one more thing with this? I don't think Tito always listened to the front office. And I think Steven Vogt offering more of a sympathetic ear and a little bit more of having grown up in the analytics era as a player, I think he might be able to incorporate that a little bit more into his decision.
But is that also just like I'm a first-year manager, I'm kind of trusting the group that I'm working with?
No,
like,
by
year five, where if he's having a lot of success, you don't think he's going to, like, you know, have his own thoughts on things and like, hey, I'm going to do it my way this time?
No. I think Tito...
Because I think he's... I honestly think, like, the lineup manipulation is him kind of... I think there was moments this season where he kind of said to these guys, like, he signaled to these guys, like, hey, I'm doing the best I can here with this lineup. But, like, he finally gave us answers on different players. Like, we finally learned a lot more about Brian Rocchio. We finally learned a lot more about Gabe Arias. Like, we learned that some of these guys that the organization was kind of slow playing and being like, well, let's wait till they get more at bats to see if they are cornerstone players on this team. He finally put them out there enough that it was like, no, now the jury's out. We know that these guys don't fit. And so I think those types of decisions actually almost force the organization to have to make tougher decisions at the deadline about being more aggressive.
Would this Guardians team be here with Terry Francona as manager instead of Stephen Vogt? More on that next on 92.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nick Wilson, Spencer German back on Afternoon Drive. Daryl Ryder coming up in just about 15 minutes here, and your Friday injury report brought to you by Slater and Zurs. Experience you need, results you want. Visit SlaterZurs.com to get your free consultation. And the injury today, Brian Burns, the star pass rusher of the Giants. He is questionable with a groin injury for Sunday's matchup against the Browns. Meanwhile, on the Browns front, David Njoku, Pierre Strong, both out. And Jack Conklin and Jed Wills are questionable for Sunday's game. That is your Friday injury report brought to you by Slater and Zurs. Experience you need, results you want. Visit SlaterZurs.com to get your free consultation. So I know we want to get back to the Browns game, but we were just talking about something off air that you got to know the real ones. You got to know the ones you can trust in key moments. And last week, Vanessa and I were trying. I'm not going to put Vanessa in this. I decided I was going to cook dinner on Sunday. And I was like, you know what? I'm sick of eating the same old, same old. So I sauteed some minced garlic. Then I threw some soy sauce in a pan. Then I threw some the peanut butter chicken sauce in there, like two things of that. And then I put ramen in there, mixed it up, and then cut up some leftover brats from the day before and threw that in there. And so Vanessa and I were sitting at the stove, and we were like, we both took a bite. They're like, I don't know. I'm like, it's not the worst thing I've ever cooked. It's certainly not the best thing I've ever cooked. And Vanessa, in a stroke of genius, was like, hey, Isabella. So my Izzy is the no BS truth teller, does not happen to think about anybody's feelings, just is blunt out with the truth. And so she comes in. She's like, what's up? I'm like, here, taste this. Let us know what you think. And it was really cute because she's like, you know, she's 10, little diminutive little creature. And she's like chewing. You can see she's like thinking about it. And she goes, that's not bad. But it's not good. And we immediately were like, I guess we're getting, you know, fill in the blank fast food there. But it was like, it was that moment of like, I like told her, I was like, I like high fived her. I was like, thank you for an honest answer. Cause I myself could not tell. And she basically just confirmed that, yeah, it's not your best work. It's not, we could eat it, but we probably shouldn't.
I feel like that's the direction my son's trending towards. I mean, yeah. It's still very early to tell. He's only two. But he's already sort of like a sassy in his own way and very, like, he's already sort of showing this this side of him where he's, like, going to be very independent. Like, he's going to do things his way and he's going to tell it like it is. So, yeah, I feel like this is almost a look into my future, only it's flipped because it's your daughter versus my son. But, yeah, now what I know what I have to look forward to. So wait, your guys, so You guys just ended up getting fast food after this. That was the solution after that.
Yeah, that was this is not working, and you don't have to eat it.
Because I'm the person who then goes on, and I'm like, well, listen, if you don't want to eat it, fine, but I'm going to eat this because I don't want to waste the food. Like, I would just eat it. I'd be like, if it's not so terrible that I can't, that it's not edible, I'll just eat it anyway.
I used to be that guy, and then there's some point in my life where I just said, life's too short. If you like,
was that point also when you started making enough money that you didn't feel like you cared if you wasted food? Because that's what it is for me. I'm like, I spent good money on this food, so you're going to eat it.
So, no, it's really only been in like the last year, because for me, it's not a, okay, I am frugal. There's just not, I am constantly worried about money, even though I really don't have to be. But it is a constant stress for me, a constant worry. So usually, you know, previously I would go to that, but I think what it is I think I've learned to accept. I still am stubborn, but situationally I am unplugging and you know what? I've been getting really good at giving myself permission to say, it's just not working. And it is under the guise of life's too short. Like, why force it? Why try and act like the thing doesn't suck? Just move on.
See, I don't know. I just need to be in a better place financially to let go of that, I think. Because I'm telling you, man, like, I do this with Jackson all the time. He tells me in the morning, like, he'll say, I want a waffle, so I'll make him a waffle. Then I make the waffle, cut it up into little pieces so he can eat it and put it in, like, his little snack cup thing. And I'm thinking, like, okay, we're going to go get in the car so we can get on the road and go drop you off at daycare today. And at the last second, he's like, I don't want that. We have these little like Aldi egg cup things that you put them in the microwave and you heat them up. And he's like, I want a cup. And so then I go on the same way. I'm like, seriously, I made you this waffle. And now I'm going to take this waffle and I'm going to throw it out.
For
the third day in a row.
From my very own blood.
For the third day in a row, and we're going to switch gears and eat something completely different, and I'm just wasting this food.
See, we're talking different things, because when it comes to kids, I've stopped caring if my kids eat it or not. They're old enough now, it's on you, dog. You want to be hungry the rest of the night? I better not see you go for a fruit cup.
We're not at that stage yet. That's the difference. Like, we're at a point where like, we can't not let him eat something.
I'm going to tell you
that. Because he's going to go to bed hungry and he'll wake up at 3 a.m. and then we have to deal with that.
I'm going to tell you, you only really need for him to experience real hunger once and he'll get with the program.
So you're saying we should, if he doesn't want to eat something that we make for him, we need to start implementing that now, is what you're saying. Because we're trying. Yeah. We're trying, but it gets hard because, like, then at like right before bed, he'll go on this tangent where he's like, I'm hungry, I want to eat. And then we have to like,
here,
eat
this melatonin.
Here's your night juice. A little bowl of Cheerios. Yeah. And he has to eat those before he goes to bed.
What's
the balance? Like, what's the age where it's like, okay, now he really has to eat what we make him for dinner, or
So everything is with parenting. Pick your battle, right? So like, sometimes it's okay to give. Sometimes there's just times like, no, you're going to do this. And if I see you sneak something from the cupboard, I'm going to make sure to tell you to put it back. So there is no perfect time. It is situationally based. But Vanessa still takes it personally. And it's like, listen, if you eat it and you know it's good and they don't want it, then it's on them. If it's not edible, then it's on you. Yeah. If you force them, you're like, they're like, no, you're going to sit there all night and eat it. No. But if you
something
know.
My grandmother used to do to me.
But like, Vanessa's a really good cook. Like, I consider myself a pretty okay cook. That one time where it's like, no, we're not eating this. That was one time in my entire adult life that I've done that and just washed my hands of it. So to me, it's more, if it's good enough for me, it's good enough for you.
See,
that's more what it is.
Because I'm definitely of the, like, my wife worries a lot more about, like, if he goes to bed starving, he's going to wake up, blah, blah, blah. I'm more of the ilk, like, let's just, you know what? He's got to learn. But I also think he's still in that phase right now, because he's only two, where he still doesn't quite understand that, like, what we're giving him is, like, what's for dinner. So I don't think he can comprehend that yet, so I'm trying not to use that against him at this point and just be like, go to bed hungry if you don't want to eat our dinner.
You can wait a little longer, but I'm just going to say, At some point.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm the one trying to lead the charge on like what the cutoff is, and we just haven't found that balance yet. But I do think he's still kind of learning that at this point.
Daryl Ryder joining us next. We'll talk about the Myles Garrett injury in this Browns-Giants game next on 92.3 The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.